And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
The reality is this team was limited. I think the future of the program is bright. Development, strength and conditioning, and Jeremiah Tillman, you have to capitalize with Sophie at this point. You got to build around her. I want them to really look at trying to drive the needle to host.
So Graceland has brought their pastor.
That's correct.
Go Graceland tonight.
Harley! And it goes! And Graceland has won it! Have mercy!
Steps to his right. Three in the air.
Oh!
Got it! He got it! Marcus Morris hit the three.
We've got a lot of fight.
Harden's been tremendous. Stepping back. A loose puck and a save made by Tomar Sitara. Tomar Sitara, the second chance.
This time of the year, you can't give teams free offense.
You know, they reached out within 5-10 minutes of the news hitting the wire. And
why don't we use that platform to put it on some of the problems that affect the communities that we were recruited from?
I feel free to speak as I want. Obviously, the 49ers have been open to allowing their players the freedom to express themselves on this platform.
That's in deep center field, all the way back and up onto the grass.
Well, I think he's got another one.
Hey, welcome in Wednesday here on The Closers alongside Chase Sparks. I'm George Young. Hope your Wednesday is going well. Divide and conquer was our theme today. A lot of stuff was going on. And I had a chance to get to Missouri women's basketball availability. We'll bring some of that to you here as the afternoon progresses. Questions about thumbs, futures, WNBA, and outside noise.
Interesting.
Ooh, that was like stereo.
Yeah.
Opening montage, Jarrett Sutton talking about Mizzou hoops, both men and the women. He was a guest yesterday on The Closers. And yesterday we found out that the Yellow Jackets from Graceland University were bringing their team pastor. I then threw all of my weight, my considerable media weight, behind Graceland for the win.
Okay.
Graceland wins.
Hey, look at that.
Ding, 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 ding. Woo! And yes, I will ride that. Oh, by the way, for the ladies, Freed Hardeman winning the NAIA.
Your AMC Freed Hardeman Lions.
Yeah. Columbia Cudge beat them twice. Excuse me. Penny Hardaway, the new Memphis head coach. Losing is not an option. Get ready.
Well, you want to bet on that?
Yeah, man. Celtics Radio Network, as they come back for the win last night over Oklahoma City. Brad Stevens, NBC Sports Boston, TNT. Houston Rockets, James Harden, AT&T Sportsnet, the Vegas Golden Knights, little saucy, Mr. Tartar, Andy Green. Can't give teams free offense.
I mean, seems...
I think you should charge for it, man. You should get what it's due, you get coming. Demario Davis, NBC Sports Radio, Richard Sherman. A couple of cuts there as well about the respect going to the San Francisco 49ers. And it's not about player activism. That he thinks that the 49ers allow players to express their opinions. Ask Colin Kaepernick how that worked out.
Huh. Can we ask Ole Miss Rebels how that's going to work out?
Maybe, maybe not.
As someone brought up, the team that is named for the Rebels, who literally designed their own flag.
Oh, and it wasn't named after James Dean?
And seceded
Rebel
from...
Rebel without a cause?
No.
Oh. You sure?
Pretty sure.
I'll let you check that.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, that will be an interesting story. I know the fan base was all behind this.
Yeah.
And that's cool, Kermit. But the fan base isn't playing your games.
Correct.
They're not responsible for the wins and losses. They're responsible for you staying in town.
That's true.
So, and your responsibility for staying in town resides with those wins and losses. Good luck with that this year. Blues play tonight. They will play the Boston Bruins. We'll talk about that. That'll be an interesting one. Gabe Yarman and Bill Connolly are our guests this afternoon. A whole lot of stuff to talk about, not just the future of this Missouri basketball team, but I think you got spring ball. Spring ball has been, this has been one of the first times in 3 years. I know prior to that, Frank Hayes last year, when I took this gig over, Spencer moved on. We didn't have to talk a whole lot about spring football.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Missouri men's basketball right up until Colorado State.
Yep.
And then that kind of went a little pear-shaped. And then didn't Larry Eustachy.
A little bit.
And, you know, and then we had 3 years where we had to dissect and digest and determine stretch lines. Figuring out the 3D based on stretch lines.
Right.
Yeah, look at that. Jay Sparks is now stretching ahead of Mo Lewis. Looks like Jay Sparks is going to take that top spot right now. I think he's going to be the number one.
And then they hand you a sheet of paper, and you're dissecting and ors.
Yes.
On said
either or, yeah.
Phantom mm-hmm. spring depth chart.
Yeah. South end zone today was over there. That the deconstruction continues. Fortunately for the athletic department and the football team, they did remember to put down the tarp on that south end zone.
There won't be any stray debris.
Right, yes. There will not be any stray debris. I do think that it's good that this team has to practice going toward that north end zone. This maybe what?
Well, I mean, it was smart that they're not going to disturb the burial ground that obviously exists in that underneath that north end zone. I mean, you don't want to like crack into that tomb or anything. That's bad news. Whatever's under there. Yeah.
Well, it's the south end zone that has the dump truck, right?
Right. Supposedly. Yeah.
I'll let rumor have. Well, we might find out now because when they got to dig that thing out, put the footings for the new south end zone expansion. But
if they pull an E350 out of there,
you want it?
No.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Pristine condition.
Petrified is not pristine.
Yeah, I might need a little work. You never know.
With a chisel.
Yeah. But I do find it ironic, though, that they are having to practice toward that north end, so maybe exercise some of those demons.
Right, exactly.
So that'll be interesting. By the way, I looked at the sports page today at the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Why would you do such a thing?
Well, actually...
Because Prince's not dead.
Well, yes. But apparently there was a typo.
Oh.
Yeah, on the sports page today of the Daily Tribune, that we have apparently a quarterback named Locke with an E.
Like the philosopher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we're getting into my area of expertise. Now I feel like maybe I could be on the stretch lines now.
Yeah, you could be. Offensive line. Now that you guys are open to interpretation. I'm trying to bring up, it may or may not be up on here, but it was part of the lead at the, I guess some people, when you sign up, you can get the email headers of everything that's covered in there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them talks about Locke's last stand. Locke.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Schrodinger's quarterback?
Yeah.
Either he threw a touchdown or he hasn't. We don't know. Just close your eyes and you'll never know.
That's right. Maybe, maybe not. He could have. We don't know. That's going to be an interesting makeup this year, because the other thing that is, the lead part of this is the return of Demaryius Crockett from the shoulder injury, and word has it that he is just ripped. I mean, we thought he was big last year. So I think I mentioned you last year. We had seen him a couple times at Matsey. Like, dude is huge now.
Yeah.
Well, he's huger.
Huger?
Huger.
Okay.
Now.
I like it. And yeah, I'm here for
but
that.
He's all ripped and just cut like he's all that weight room time.
Well, it just means more.
It does. I was like, needs a little pudding. Kind of absorb some of that impact, you know?
Ah, he's given the impact.
Okay. All right. All right.
Running over some SEC secondary. That free safety.
Yeah, No, not happening. Okay.
Truck stick.
Okay. All right. It again, to kind of circle back here to where we were to start with here, it's interesting that Missouri spring ball has just kind of been in the shadow.
It's just kind of, well, it's just kind of slowly worked itself back around.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
We're not, you know, you got a couple of departures. You haven't had the releases of, oh, you know, so-and-so's been suspended for the remainder of the spring practice.
Now, why would you even go there? Why would you even say that?
You know, just things that we're used to seeing happen, not happening yet.
And man, you're just, wow.
North end zone.
Throwing fate under the bus. Yeah, on a season when all they can do is run towards the north end zone, you're saying these things? What's wrong with you?
What?
Oh, man.
Tempting.
Okay.
You got it in you? Can you avoid the mouse traps along the way? Leading into the spring game, which is what, April 15th this year? Check the calendar real quick because I think it is the 15th. 14th. That's Saturday. And that will wrap up the spring practice. And Missouri's attendance numbers, that are always interesting because there are the numbers that are announced and there are the numbers that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sometimes at odds.
Not at evens?
No, they're at odds. Okay. They're at odds. They're okay. At odds. If they were evens, then the numbers would match up. Because then they would be even.
Oh, I thought you not. Just, you meant I thought you meant the difference was always an odd number.
No, because I remember one of the quotes last year coming out of that. I think it may have been Dave Matter going, I wonder if they counted the people driving by as part of the 10,000. You know, maybe they slow down for a look so they count.
Mm-hmm. All the dorms that face in, they automatically count.
You're right. They count those. Okay.
All the window, all the people in the dorms that face in.
I see that. I get that now. All right. Royals World Series, right? I mean, 5 home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
10-1 win.
Yeah.
Get the late game tonight again.
They like playing under the lights. Bright lights, big city.
Bright
for
lights,
Royals.
Big city. That's right. That's what it's all about for those boys in
Hollywood.
Blue.
Hollywood Royals.
Camp breaks end of this week.
Yep.
Man.
We're there.
Are you?
We're on the cusp.
Okay. Of?
Regular season baseball.
Okay. Well, I just checking to make sure that.
Right. I know.
I'm checking to make sure that you're okay. All right. Here are some names that have decided to go ahead and enter the NBA draft out of the collegiate basketball. DeAndre Ayton, Arizona.
Good move.
Okay. Let's see. Marvin Bagley.
Good move.
From Duke.
Yes.
Trey Young from Oklahoma, where the wind goes whistling over planes, much like his missed threes.
Good move, but you're going to put some GM on the ultimate hot seat.
Yep.
If his stock rises, if he's a top five type guy, 5 or 6 type guy, you've got some GM who's going to tie his entire tenure to Trey Young. Because I don't think he's that guy.
Okay. Yeah, see, and that's where I was at with it coming into this one. He says he's ready to get to work.
Great.
And, well, that's cool. That's awesome. Aren't we all? Some days. But if you're an NBA exec, do you look at the front half of the season where it was all glitz and glamour and raining threes and dishing out assists and racking up 40-point nights and the competition wasn't really all? Or do you look at the end of the season when there's film on him to say, this is what you do to stop him? Because he didn't seem to make the adjustment. Right, we talked about that. We talk about that a lot in baseball, especially with pitchers and hitters. You know, it's a constant game of adjustment. You make the adjustment, then I've got to adjust to you. And the ones that refuse to make the adjustment, sports evolution will weed you out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's not where Trey Young kind of is right now, is he had his game, film is out, they make the adjustments, shut him down. Now what's the adjustment for him? Well, you're going to have to find out on the NBA level now. You don't know if he can make that secondary adjustment.
Yeah, I think the best thing I read about him was the idea that at the moment, he is a more complete basketball player than Steph Curry was at his age.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
his ceiling is nowhere near Steph Curry's ceiling. He will never be Steph Curry in the NBA. So if you're a GM, are you wooed by the allure of what this guy could be if all of the things that made him great mm-hmm. in the first half of this college football right, yeah. basketball season continue to grow? Or are you a GM who's like, okay, I see the glass ceilings. Mm-hmm. I see the ceilings where he's going to artificially bump into these things and maybe stop having that growth. And what kind of a player is he at that point?
Yeah. Now, you've got a full year of Trae Young. The next comparative is now Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of this high school film where he is this tremendous athlete. Hops, quick to the spot, good shot, decent defender. You have a three games, a grainy Zapruder film, and 2 minutes of his collegiate career. High ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Are you the GM then that rolls the dice on him should he enter the NBA draft? Knowing that you got a big man coming in off of back surgery.
Yeah, I mean that's where it's at.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you have to make that determination unless he just removes himself from the draft.
Which one is more of a crapshoot, Michael Porter or Trae Young?
With back injuries included, mm-hmm. I'd say Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Only because you've seen back injuries really derail careers.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the back injury, just not knowing what you have for Michael Porter Jr. versus what you saw for a year of Trae Young. I think Trae Young is the bigger conundrum. I think healthy, both of them healthy on an even footing, I think you know more of what you have with Michael Porter Jr. than you do with Trae Young.
If that's the feedback you get from the scouts going, you know, we're not sure. Do you go ahead and make the jump anyway?
I mean,
you're a top 10.
Yeah.
Top 10 pick right now.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in an interesting spot. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. We got to get to Gabe here real quick. But he's in an interesting spot where you can't begrudge him for making either move, staying or leaving.
Right.
And he is in a spot right now where he can do either one of them. And one is, if he decides to stay, it might be a lot related to the legacy question. That he had stated when he got here, that he wanted to leave a legacy for the University of Missouri. We'll see what happens with that one. He has until April 22nd. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Gabe Yarman from PowerMizzou.com. He is next.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to our number one of the Closers. Jay Sparks here. George Young has stepped out for just a second, but we are joined on Wednesdays, as we normally are, by PowerMizzou.com's Gabe DeArmond. Gabe, how you doing today, sir?
Not bad, Jay. What's up?
Oh, just trying to wrap my head around the kind of unfortunate conclusion of the basketball season and all of the questions going forward. As you have gone into kind of shifting gears from regular season, postseason into off-season coverage mode, what are you picking up? What is your radar picking up on this team as what you're focused on?
Well, there's really two things, and I suppose it's possible that they're connected. Number one is what happens with Jonte and Michael Porter. Are they coming back? Are they not? I understand the 30,000-foot view of Michael is going to be the national view. They like it's not on their radar that he will do anything other than go pro. And certainly that is, you know, a distinct possibility, obviously, that he will go pro. I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion necessarily. But so we got to see what happens with those two. And then, you know, what happens with Courtney Ramey and whether Missouri lands him, and then the transfer/grad transfer market, which obviously is very much, I think, reliant on what does happen with Johnson and Michael.
Yeah, and that timeline, just where does that timeline fall? And when it comes to signing some of these 2018 names in the grad transfers, is there any impetus on the Porter brothers to make maybe a little quicker decision or to keep the process moving, just from the sense of not hamstringing, from what they're leaving behind?
Well, ultimately, it's their decision to make, and they get to make it when they're ready to make it. You have to declare for the draft by April 22nd. So it could happen anytime between, you know, while we're doing this interview to April 22nd, they could make their decision. And we'll have to obviously wait and see what those are. Sure. I'm sure in a perfect world, Konzo Martin would love for it to happen sooner, whatever it is, just so he knows. But I don't think he's going to pressure them, and it's not really fair. They get to make this decision. You know, they're good enough to have the option, so they get to make it when they're ready to make it. And the last thing you want is a decision maybe before they're ready. You don't want a kid to say, I'm coming back, and then change his mind and go, oh, I kind of thought about it. Maybe I should go.
Yeah, and you're right. They are owed that, and they deserve that right to make that decision on their own time. And from the fans' perspective, looking at this team and looking at the 2018-19 roster, you know, what kind of swing are we talking about? I know you answered this in your mailbag a little bit and kind of got into it, but what kind of swing are you looking at if it's truly full power operational, like Death Star style, if it's Michael and Jonte and Ramey comes versus if you scale that back and they both leave and things go a different way, what's the spread for next year, kind of in your general opinion?
I don't think it is hyperbolic to say the spread is top 10 in the country, preseason potential SEC favorite, if everything breaks your way, versus if everything doesn't, probably really scratching and flying to have much of a shot to make the tournament. I think Michael and Jonte and whatever could be around them make that big of a difference. I really believe that.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you, Gabe. I don't think it is hyperbolic at all to say to go with that big of a spread. And as Mizzou fans follow this narrative, like there's been a bunch of the last couple days, the last week or so, there's been a lot of fourth wall breaking and fans talking about the media talking about the media and the relationship kind of in between all of those things. And how important is it for fans to kind of keep everything in perspective as these twists and turns goes? And we know that fan bases aren't wanting to do that in the grand scheme of things, but just how important is it for people to realize, again, these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids making decisions that could affect the rest of their lives?
Yeah, fans aren't really rational. it probably comes across as more of an insult than I mean it. That's what makes it great. But look, there's not – it's kind of a waste of air to preach to fans, hey, you got to keep this in perspective. That's not what fans do at any school. I'm not insulting Missouri fans, just fans in general, you know. So there will be some of this, oh, my God, why is it – I mean, there was some on my message board today, why is this taking so long? And somebody said the season ended 4 days ago.
Right.
You know, I mean, nothing's taking so long. I mean, we've had, like, what, three kids declare for the draft, I think. So it's going to happen when it's going to happen, and, you know, we'll be ready when it does.
Yeah, very much so. And this team is just, you know, I feel like the way the season ended has actually poured a little more fuel on the fire, because like you said in your mailbag also, you know, if you had told us 20 wins and NCAA tournament lock and these kinds of things, 100% of Mizzou fans would have taken it after the past 3, 4, 5 years of Mizzou basketball. But the way it ended, and I mean, the inflamed kind of passion of this fan base now wanting more, you know, Konzo Martin's going to have an interesting kind of PR, you know, tightrope to walk over the next, or during this offseason and next season, to kind of get everybody on the same page and know that it's a program building process.
I mean, excuse me, Konzo's in that honeymoon phase with Missouri fans for another little bit. I mean, he made the NCAA tournament without the country's best player coming off 8-24. You know, I don't know. I have not seen any, you know, approaching rational Missouri fan who is anything except thrilled with this season. I mean, sure, after Friday night and the immediate aftermath, there were some people upset. I mean, you're always upset when you lose your last game of the season. It's disappointing. But everybody, I think, has the understanding of how far this program has come. But they've got further to go. I mean, the goal isn't making the NCAA tournament. That's like goal number one of, you know, five or six. And they accomplished one. And now, as has always been the case, Konzo's career and his ultimate success here is going to be determined probably over the next 4 years, not on this year.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, with this team and the players who are coming back, you know, outside of the Porters, you know, there's so much focus going to be on Jeremiah Tillman and what he becomes for this Missouri Tigers offense, and just exactly how much can you lean on a guy like Jeremiah Tillman? And again, questions still abound if Jonte's there, if he's not there, and those kinds of things. But just how much growth potential and ceiling does Jeremiah Tillman have? I mean, is he a guy who could end up doing what Jonte and Michael are doing and find those high level of pro scouts at some point?
I think absolutely, and I think quite likely before his 4 years at Missouri are up. But, you know, off-season issue number one and has to be keeping him on the floor. And I guess Konzo said on his radio show the other night, you know, that Tillman texted him and wanted a cut-up of every foul he committed this season. And Jeremiah was a much better player this year than I expected he would be, or than I think almost anybody expected he would be. Now you need to see that same level of growth that he made from senior year in high school to freshman year at Missouri. It has to be matched by the growth he makes freshman to sophomore year.
Yeah, and it's just it's interesting to see, and how much of this also depends on I haven't mentioned his name yet because it's not near official or verbal, but you know, as the Courtney Rimey saga also plays out along this time frame, you know, how much difference does kind of an elite level point guard change how your post players are able to play when they can make those entry passes and they can kind of set the offense up, and I mean, it only helps in the grand scheme of things, obviously.
Oh, I mean, the one thing this team really lacked this year was a point guard, and it's not an insult to Jordan Geist. He, I thought, did very admirably things that he was asked to do that really aren't him. You know, I thought he did not get enough credit for what he did for this team this year, to be quite honest. But, look, we look back at Ricardo Ratliff. How good was he? Now, how good is he if instead of Phil Pressey, his point guard is like a guy that shouldn't be playing point guard? You know, I mean, that was a big part of Ricardo's senior year was Phil Pressey and putting him in spots to succeed. It's like a quarterback and a receiver, you know. So, absolutely. I mean, whether it's Ramey or whatever, they need a solution at point guard.
And you mentioned quarterbacks and receivers, and spring is getting ready to go here for football, stretching lines, and a little bit of practice here and there as Mitchell's been out there for PowerMizzou.com, and we're talking with Gabe DeArmon right now from PowerMizzou.com, and coverage is starting to get out there, and just your kind of initial thought about this spring and where this team needs to go over this spring session to get ready for another SEC slate, and obviously, as we've talked about before, not a 1-5 start.
Yeah, I think we've talked about over the years how much weight I put in spring football.
Yeah.
Not much. I there is not a single question I have about this team that's going to be answered by April 14th. Especially when I've been to three practices because I've been out covering basketball. You know, look, we all know the question marks are wide receiver, defensive end, safety. The question marks in August are going to be wide receiver, defensive end, safety. You know, I just don't really know what can be answered in the spring and the limited amount of things that we see.
From a coaching staff's perspective, are there benchmarks that they see out of spring, or is this more just kind of making sure your resume is spell checked and not full of spelling errors?
Well, I think when you've got a new offensive coordinator, you know, a big thing is how quickly do these kids pick up the offense at the end of spring. Do they look like they're out there going, hang on, I don't know what to do here? Or do they look like they have some clue what Derek Dooley's asking of them? I think that's probably the biggest thing this year. And, you know, coaches will tell you that spring ball is hugely important. I mean, coaches would tell me that bowl practices were really important, and then I'd go watch them play tug of war at bowl practices. You know, so is spring ball important? I'm sure it is to them. I don't mean to minimize it. But just from my perspective, to me, as much as anything else, it's 14 times to make sure you know where all the kids are and get people on the same page, and then a 15th time to let them practice in front of some fans.
Not including a Jonte or Michael headline, is there a future Power Mizzou headline over this spring or summer session before school gets going again that you're hoping to be able to write?
Look, something always happens, man. I've learned not to say it's going to be quiet. Something's going to happen, whatever it is. The next thing that we know is going to happen one way or the other is what happens with those guys. I mean, that's the next big story.
Yeah, very much so. Gabe Yarman from PowerMizzou.com, and we appreciate Gabe and all of his time that he gives us on Wednesdays for coming on and going around the Mizzou landscape. Gabe, I'm glad basketball is relevant. I'm glad football seems to be trending in the right direction. The stuff at Power Mizzou has been great. The new staff additions are working out well. Appreciate all of the work you do over there and the time you take for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jay. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Gabe. And we're going to get back to hour number one. We'll come right back and continue on with the closers right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Even the devil, he got a job to do.
And welcome back to the Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Interesting comments there from Gabe. Who knew fan bases weren't really rational?
Right. Right. Did we know that?
Go figure.
Did we know that?
I think occasionally we kind of stumble into that one randomly.
Okay.
All right, welcome back. 442-8255 is the phone number. 442-8255. Action tonight over at Scott Trade Center, 7 o'clock. The drop of the puck, Blues and the Bruins. No Vladimir Tarasenko. Upper body injury.
Those pesky upper body
injuries. Didn't say actually injury. He says out upper body.
Oh.
So I'm guessing it's still attached to his lower body. They haven't.
That would be a
problem.
That
would be news.
That would be a big problem.
That would definitely be news. They thought he would be at practice today. He is not, so he will not be playing. Or yesterday, rather, he is not. He will not be playing tonight. Vince Dunn. Brooks and Dunn? Same guy?
No.
No, okay, good.
Vince, Gill, Brooks, and Dunn?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Right.
But, they made a couple of call-ups, and Alex Steen has now taken Tarasenko's place on the front. So it's Steen, Schwartz, and Shen. The OS line.
The alliteration.
Yes. Two straight wins, both overtimes.
Right.
So you've played a lot of minutes in the last 4 or 5 days. It's going to be really important for this Blues team to get out on top fast tonight. Bruins team that comes in, they're not 100% either.
Right. Banged up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking here. Yeah, I mean, let's see. They had a 6-game win streak. It was broken, and they are 2-2. In their last four games, Blues 2-0 in their last couple of games. interesting. This is an interesting game tonight because the Blues can win this one.
Yeah.
As banged up as the Bruins are right now, the Blues could actually win this game tonight.
Yeah, this is very winnable hockey.
But, man, you got to – the problem with the Blues that we've seen, especially at Scott Trade, has not been getting out to fast starts. It's been the other team gets out to the fast start. And the Blues, that first period or first maybe 30 minutes of that game, are behind one or two goals, forced to fight from behind the whole time. You can't do that tonight.
Or just the motivational, the demotivational goal where they play a whole first period 0-0.
Right.
And they're attacking, they're looking good, they're throwing their body around on the boards, you know, they're getting shots on goal and making the other goalie work, all those things. And then 2 minutes into the second period, just a random wrist slapper from 40 feet goes in. And you just see the entire Blues team go,
ooh. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just so painful.
Boston Bruins currently ranking third in goals per game, averaging just a little bit over 3 goals against, a little under, well, just about 2.5 goals per game. So not a lot of margin of error there for the Boston Bruins. 6th on the power play and 9th on a penalty kill for the St. Louis Blues as we're looking at that matchup tonight. The Blues, and this is where the problem is. They're really good goals against, 2.7. The problem is their margin's even thinner. They average 2.8 goals a game. And you got to think about this. There was a couple of 7-goal games in there for this Blues squad within the last month or so, about the last 6 weeks, that ticks that up a little bit. So 23rd in goals again, or goals per game. So that'd be offense. Goals against, 7th. Power play, that bottom of the league, 29th. And 15th on the penalty kill. So we talked about getting off to a fast start. Might want to follow the rules, too.
Yeah.
Avoid putting Boston on that power play. But the biggest thing is, and you had the Blues come off with that 5-4 win in overtime against the Blackhawks without Tarasenko, but now you're asking them to go out there and do it again for a second straight game. I do like the addition of Steen on that line.
Yeah.
But that gives you one big offensive line. Advantage Blues because you have that last line change.
Yeah.
But, geez, you're throwing all the eggs in one basket right now.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, at this point, you can't spread it out. You've got to have at least one area of potency.
Mm-hmm. Blues right now, they are sitting there at 39-28-5. Boston comes in at 45-17-9. And this is where the problem begins for the St. Louis Blues. One, you're running out of time. And you're running out of wiggle room in the standings as the St. Louis Blues currently sitting there behind the Jets, Wild, Avalanche, and Stars. The Nashville Predators have already clinched. The Chicago Blackhawks have already been eliminated. So you're right on that cut. You're still alive, but you look a lot like my NCAA bracket. What?
Taking on water?
Taking on water. Yeah, you're shipping water. And it's... You got a... I mean, 72 games, you got 10 left. 82-game season. You're 11 games over 500, but you are sitting 5 points behind the Colorado Avalanche. And you got to play some leapfrog in order to get into the playoffs. So St. Louis Blues got some work to do. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Scott Trade Center, and the game, if you're going to look at it for it on Fox Sports Midwest, you're not going to find it. It's on NBC Sports Net tonight. NBC Sports Net has the game this evening. And a lot of other stuff is going on right now. In fact, Missouri softball in game number one of a doubleheader scheduled against SEMO is happening right now. And trying to get that page to refresh as the Tigers... Down there in Cape Girardeau, they'll be on the road most of this weekend. Two games down in Cape Girardeau tonight, and then they will be down in Fayetteville. But right now, game one of two, it is 3-3, and they are leading, are the Tigers, 5-2. So that's a much better start for the Tigers than when they played Illinois last week. That was dreadful.
Yes.
So and again, game number two of that is later tonight. The Missouri baseball team off to a good start, at least at home. Won their last 13 games there. They're now 10-0 at home this year as they won big last night. 11-1 was the final last night for the Missouri Tigers over Arkansas State. And Tyler LaPlante, the lefty, picking up the victory. Cam Meisner, all on base, all four appearances. And how about Alex Samples? Congratulations to that young man. A career game for him as he had a couple of hits and four RBI in the Tigers' victory. So they'll play it again tonight or this afternoon. In fact, they're underway right now. Is the Missouri baseball team as they are taking on Arkansas State. And now it's a matter of getting that screen to refresh fast enough here before we exit out of the hour to get that taken care of. But again, that 11, that win last night. And as we get ready to head out of the hour here, it is Arkansas State, Missouri 1, 2-1 in favor of the Red Wolves. Hour 2, right around the corner.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.